Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down, yeah. I could sing, I could sing your love forever. Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down, yeah. I could sing of your love forever. 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 I feel like dancing. It's foolishness, I know, but when the world has seen the light, they will dance with joy like we're dancing now, yeah. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. Sing of your love. Foolishness, I know, but when the world has seen the light, they will dance with joy like we're dancing now, yeah. Oh.
Yeah. church. As we do every week, we are going to be coming before His presence with singing His praise. We just don't want this to be a one-time-a-week thing. We want to praise Him with our lives, with our thoughts, our words, our actions. But we're going to do this out loud starting off our service. So would you stand and join us on this song? A hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. Our weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of a storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. A hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Sing a little louder part. Men, you're going to do the echo. Here we go.
Sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemy.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me. In the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
Gonna sing.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar.
You may be seated.
Hey, Crosspoint, it's Renee. If the year of 2020 has been anything, it has been different. And VBS is going to look a little different this year, too. We will be hosting Rocky Railroad VBS virtually this summer. We are going to spend the next several weeks putting together an awesome program of all the things you love about VBS. We'll also be putting together some participant packets, and you'll be able to pick those up prior to VBS. They're going to include the CD, the Bible booklet, the Imagination Station gadgets, all kinds of things that will make your kids have a great week of VBS. We will start premiering those the week of August 9th. But what does this mean for you? I want you guys to start thinking about how you will use this virtual VBS. Are you going to invite some neighbors over to view it together in your backyard or in your family room? Or maybe your grandpa and grandma and you want to have your grandkids over for a few days and watch all the episodes together. Stay tuned for more information, but make sure you start thinking about how you're going to use Rocky Railroad virtual VBS this summer.
Well, hello, everybody. Glad that you have joined with us. We do want you to be engaged in this, and if you have kids, grandkids, to be part of it, that would be great. I just got a few announcements. Want to announce that Cameron Eloise Calflesh was born to Steve and Sarah on the 24th at 6:46 p.m., 7 pounds, 5 ounces, 20 inches long, and mom and baby are doing great, so we rejoice with them. Also, the men's golf outing is coming up on July 25th, which is 4 weeks away, and really, you need to be registered within a couple weeks. So, guys, there's a good chance for you to reach out and invite people, and you can go to the website, you can prepay. If you are a sponsor and you want to sponsor a hold, that would be great. You can, again, contact the office. You can contact Jerry Toko as well. That'd be great. We have a business meeting following the second service, so if you're a member, after the service, you go out, maybe have a cup of coffee, come back, and be part of that after the second service. And after that as well, we at 12:30 are going to celebrate our graduates underneath the big white tent out there, so that's at 12:30 today. If you could come back, that would be tremendous. We have I mentioned the business meeting. We have Rooted started. Did I mention the business meeting? We did. Okay. All right. It's early. High School Rooted Youth Group is 6 p.m. tonight here at church. And then we're going to have a membership class on July 19th. And we're going to do it two ways. We're going to have it in person and we're going to do it virtually. So if you're interested, please contact the church and let us know which way you want to do that. We are going to have childcare if you want to do it in person. So you could do that. And then next week is family worship. And so there will be no kids programs like we would normally have, but we kind of don't. We're having the kids outside today. So that's it by way of announcements. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to do some grad recognition. Lord, I just thank you for this day. Thank you that this is the day that you've made. And I thank you for your word, which is a rock, which is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our paths. And as we stand upon the rock, Lord, we want to give you our lives. We would lift up these grads to you and really all of our lives. You know what's going on. And so I just pray that you would show yourself great today in our lives. And so we commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Like Pastor Matt said, we are going to honor a group of individuals that have completed a 13-year, in some cases more year, rite of passage. And not only do we want to honor them, but we want to speak or sing a blessing over them. And this blessing is found in Scripture. It was spoken of over the children of Israel. It was for God's favor. And that's what we want to do now. If you know the words to this song, please join in.
Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. His favor be upon you and the thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and the thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, he is for you, he is for you. Upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening, you're coming, going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, he is for you, he is for you. Amen, 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 amen.
Well, good morning. This year, our graduation recognition is a little unique because none of our graduates actually got to really experience their graduation. There was scrambling by schools to try to put things together that would do justice for their hard work, and yet, at the same time, it wasn't exactly what they were expecting. And so we thought we would do something a little special and make an attempt to recognize their hard work over the last 12 years of their lives. So we had them walk, and we're going to recognize them. And we also have, after service, a time to greet them, and maybe, if you can, give them cash, because that's what they want and that's what they need. Anyway, I'm going to read the names off. As I read them off, they'll come up, and I'll say nice things about most of them. So here we go. I want to recognize our college graduates. We have two college graduates. The first is Lori Moore. She graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in Liberal Studies with an emphasis on speech and language pathology and education. So congratulations, Lori. We also have Paige Ellen Clark. She graduated from Cornerstone University with a Bachelor's in Strategic Communications with a minor in Sports Management, and she is going to be an activities counselor at Spring Hill this summer, and then her long-term plans are to see what God's doors open for her. So congratulations to Paige. So Jason, come on up. Jason Michael Clark. I always ask for the full name, not because anybody cares. I just get to know your middle names. So Jason Michael Clark graduated from Grosse Pointe North High School, and he is going to be pursuing a trade in welding and intends to take classes at community college. And Jason, my interactions with you, you are a very polite person. You've never said mean things to me with the intent of being mean. You were in middle school at one point in time. But I appreciate your kindness to me. You are a kind person, and that is attributed to your parents' hard work and you. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. Congratulations. Carolyn Schuyler Kubek is not here this morning, but she graduated from Grosse Pointe South. She will be a freshman at Michigan State and will be studying elementary education. Mariah, come on up. Mariah Miata Loper. Mariah is graduating, or did graduate, from Grosse Pointe North. She will be attending Michigan State University, and she will be going to their residential college for art and humanities. And Mariah, I want to say this to you. We don't see eye to eye on some things sometimes, and other things we do. What I respect you greatly for is your candor and your ability to make an argument that is logical and caring for other people, and I appreciate that about you. Even when we don't agree on everything, I really do appreciate your ability to speak respectfully and with candor and to think through your arguments. So don't lose that. So thank you. Congratulations. Peter Russell Martin. Peter Russell graduated from Grosse Pointe South. He will be attending Purdue University to be a Boilermaker. What is that?
Makes boils.
Okay, makes boils. And he's going to use that boil making to study mechanical engineering in the fall. So congratulations, Purdue University future freshman, Peter Martin. Peter, I want to say this to you. One time we were playing football, and I hit you very hard. And you've never brought that up. And I appreciate that. But I also appreciate that you speak respectfully to others, and I appreciate that you obey your parents. Everybody here did a pretty good job with that. But I don't know who's clapping there, but they're really excited that you're obeying. So I appreciate that about you. Don't ever stop honoring your parents. It actually gets harder as you move on in life, and that's not their fault. So just keep doing that. Okay. Congratulations. Jordan Renee Folkrod. She is the noisiest one in the bunch. Graduated from Grosse Pointe North, and you'll be going to Cedarville University. What I thought you were studying from previous discussions was like accounting or business, but it says here criminal justice major. So that's cool. Thanks for letting me know. I appreciate that. We appreciate Jordan personally in our family because she has babysat for us many, many times, and I appreciate your care and for my own family, especially for my children, And I think you will excel anywhere you go in life. So congratulations. Rocco is not here right now, but Rocco Tedesco graduated from Liggett. He'll be going to Indiana University Bloomington for, this is a long one, an intensive U.S. State Department Chinese language program. His plan is to incorporate his love for travel and Asian culture as a negotiator for an American company doing business in China. Wow, okay. That's above my pay grade. But Rocco has been a wonderful student, and I have had many meetings with him where he has encouraged me even through difficult situations that he's gone through. And that's a humbling experience to have that from a student. So congratulations, Rocco. The Tedescos have been hosting a cultural transfer student named Dean Shi, and I probably said his last name wrong, but he also graduated from Liggett. He'll be going to Michigan State University for animal sciences, and his future plan is to be a vet in Shanghai for small animals while operating a trending pet cafe. And so I've appreciated knowing Dean. He laughs at all my jokes, and I don't know if he really thinks I'm funny. So thank you. Congratulations, Dean. Brandon. Where's Brandon? Brandon Thomas Elovich graduated from Lakeview High School in St. Clair Shores, and he will be going to the Michigan Career Technical Institute to pursue graphic design. And here's what you need to know about Brandon. He is a persevering person. Brandon works at something until he learns at it, and you'll do really well. Okay? And I also want you to know that I have never heard you say a mean word to anybody, and that is rare. I have failed in that aspect, and so I don't ever lose that and help other people to learn to be that way. So congratulations. Ian Michael Ressler graduated from Lakeview High School, and he is planning to be an electrician's apprentice. Shocking. Now, I actually did that on purpose because Ian makes dumb jokes. Sandwiches is not correct. No, jokes. And that's what I appreciate about you is your humor. And you're often teased for not being funny, but in reality, we're all looking at our phones, shaking our heads, laughing. So use that humor for God's glory as an electrician. All right? You can do that. Congratulations. Evan Braddock. What's your middle name, Evan? Oh, Joaquin, that makes sense. All right, graduated from Grosse Pointe South. You are going to Michigan State University to study medicine and music production. His album did drop yesterday, is that correct? Yep, first album. And so you can find that on SoundCloud, Spotify. Oops. Anyway, Evan, you are another individual who you treat people with dignity and respect. Like, I've never seen you not treat someone with dignity and respect. I've not heard you insult people. I have not seen you treat people badly. In a world like we have today, that is incredibly rare. So don't stop treating people as though they're made in the image of God. And when you go to be a doctor, that skill will come in very handy for you. So congratulations. Andrew Connor Fagan. Connor, his full name is Andrew Connor Fager, but he really goes by Connor most of the time, so we call him Connor Figgin. He went to Grosse Pointe North, graduated, so good job. He will be attending Wayne Community College, studying criminal justice with the ultimate goal of being a homicide detective. Maybe you and Jordan will work together one day. That would be cool. Small world. Anyway, Connor. Connor, when you meet Connor, if you don't know Connor, when you first meet him, you're like, this is a squirrel in a human body. And then you realize that person has made you feel better without maybe even trying. So being around Connor is a positive experience. And that is encouraging for a youth pastor because not all my interactions or situations I deal with are positive. But when I know I'm going to lunch with Connor or I'm meeting with Connor or Connor's on a trip, as long as he's not leaving a gas station when he's not supposed to and walking down a major highway, all my experiences have been positive with Connor. And so I just want to encourage you, as a police officer one day, I would encourage you that your interactions end up helping the person that you're dealing with, whether they've done something wrong or not, be better. Like, you can do that. And so congratulations, and I look forward to seeing where you go. And last but not least is Noah Stahl. He's not here this morning, but he graduated from Grosse Pointe South and will be attending Macomb Community College to study automotive restoration and 3D printing, and will eventually transfer to McPherson College in Kansas. And Noah is going to be very gifted working with cars. He loves all things cars. And I've even asked him some advice at times for my cars that never work. And so I appreciate his willingness to talk through that, and I appreciate his candor in the times that I've spent with him. That is our grads. I'm going to pray for them, and if you're able to make it to our grad party later, I encourage you to come. Let's pray. God, I thank you for these graduates. I thank you for their hard work, and I thank you that even in a time where they would have a right to grieve, not being recognized like all the other grads in history have been recognized, that they have had a positive attitude and a mindset that I think brings you glory. I pray that as they go forward into real life, that they would honor and glorify you, that they would love you, and that in whatever occupation they take on, they would do it for your glory and not for their own recognition. I pray this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. The story behind this next song is there's a bit of a connection with graduates going out into the world. The story is based on an Old Testament story about the Battle of Jericho and walking around walls where the children of Israel left what was considered to be home for hundreds of years, which was Egypt, and started wandering in the wilderness. And they had some encounters like the one at Jericho. But what they, mainly found out that was God was faithful. They were promised a home that many of them didn't ever get to, but they eventually, as a nation, did get there. So it wasn't their home. The wilderness was not their home. Egypt was not their home. But they knew that God was faithful all along the way. So would you join us on this song?
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won. For you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never heart will
will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. Still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. I never will forget. You've never failed me yet. I never will forget.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for never failing. You've always been faithful. I know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those called according to his purpose. You've promised to us through your word. And I know that you will for the graduates. I know that you will for those that follow you. That we, and I pray that we will never forget your faithfulness. Thank you for your word. And as Pastor Matt brings it, I pray that it goes deep into our hearts and grows roots and stays there so that we can be reminded of your faithfulness. We love you very much. I lift this up and pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, you may be seated.
So I was riding with the police last week on my chaplain duties and pulled a gentleman over and had to impound his car. And we're talking. And the guy looked just like Cat Stevens. So I said to the police officer, I said, you know who Cat Stevens is? And he's like, no. I said to the guy whose car to impound, you know who Cat Stevens is? And he said, no. Then another guy pulls up who's 40 years old. I said, you know who Cat Stevens is? You know, the guy who wrote Moonshadow, Father and Son, Peace Train, Morning Has Broken. I mean, there's some great songs. You know, from the 70s, you know, 40 years old. No. I go back to the station. A 45-year-old sergeant's there. Say, you know who Cat Stevens is? And he says, no. And I sat there and walked around. I was like, I'm old. I am old. And I do feel like I'm getting older. And so I look around this world, and this world has changed. And I'm going to say things today as an old guy. So for you younger people, you got to stick with me. I'm going to say things that are different than Pastor Jason would say, that Pastor Nate would say. It is a lot of probably what some of your parents and maybe grandparents are going through as we look at the changes in this world. But we're going to land in the Bible, so I just want you to stick with me. I know some of you are going to think halfway through, this guy's lost his mind, we need to get him off the stage, he's old now. But just stick with me. The nation has changed. Some of the changes desperately needed to happen. Martin Luther King said many years ago, I have a dream that my four little children, will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And we are obviously not where we should be as a nation. That's just one that is changing and needs to change. The racism that has gone on in this country hasn't been right. And so that's a good change. And there's other good changes. But there are other changes that are not as good. The whole idea that people question authority, and really, they look at there's no other authority but themselves. And when you're older like I am, it drives you crazy. I am amazed to see parents who are held captive by little terrorist children. And you go to the store, and we've all seen it, and it is something that I look back at and I just marvel, because when I was younger, we were taught to respect authority. I mean, I remember driving with my uncle, and I knew I was doing wrong. I was lipping off, and he warned me, and then he reached back and he swatted my leg. Now, today, if an uncle did that, oh, that would be a problem. And I had it coming, but I could tell you what I didn't do. I didn't go home and say, Mom, Uncle Vern whacked me. Because she would have smacked me upside the head and say, well, you had it coming. What were you lipping off to Uncle Vern about? And yeah, there were some things that maybe the way they did it wasn't the best, but they taught children respect. I mean, it drives me crazy when a four-year-old will go up to someone, hey, Bob, how you doing? No, it's Mr. or Mrs. And so some of you are doing that well, but it is something that I see. It's a lack of authority in schools. I have talked to many, many teachers and former teachers who, some of them have quit because it's like, I can't do this. There's no respect. There is no support. There is, it's just not a good thing. Parents think their children are the center of the universe, and even when they try to bring a correction that goes to the administrator often does not back them, and it's not a good thing. And so it's true of coaches. It's true around the world. It's true even with police officers. It's interesting. Some of our people want to go into law enforcement, which you'll have plenty of jobs because there are people leaving the police force at record pace. I just read New York City. They're just early retirements are going on. And there's a sense in which we used to respect police officers. We wanted to grow up to be police officers. And I have seen firsthand in my chaplain duties in this community as I drive around, mostly with Caucasian families, where a lot of young people, they're showing us fingers. They're being disrespectful. You show up somewhere, and they're like, what's your badge number? You know, and then they got their camera out, and I'm like going, and they're disrespecting the guys I'm with. And it's like, I want to say to these parents, what are you doing to your kid? Because when this kid is 16 years old, you're going to have your hands full. Now, you could say, well, they deserve it because there are bad police officers. And I would say, yeah, there is no one more grieved than the police officers that see what other police officers do. And so it's out there. And so there's bad ones, but most of the officers that you will run into in your community are there to serve and protect. And they're good people. Same thing is true of doctors. There are really bad doctors out there. I have been in hospitals hundreds of times, and that's no joke. And I have seen terrible doctors who have let, in one sense, let people die. And yet, most of them are not that way. They're good doctors. They care for people. I've seen bad teachers, and so have you. But most of them love and care for their students. And I have seen horrible pastors who have fleeced their flock, who have not cared for them, who have not taught them God's word. And we live in a day and age. What has changed is everybody's angry at everybody nowadays. There's no respect for each other. I remember Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill, one Republican and one Democrat, and they vehemently disagreed, but they would get together and they would talk, and they treated each other with respect. That day is gone. And it greatly saddens my heart. The loss of authority is, like I said, across the board, and it's not good. There's another area. Lord willing, my daughter-in-law, within the next week, will give birth to a baby boy, which is we're excited about. She had those fake contractions yesterday, false alarm. But if things continue on the path that they are, and that little boy goes to kindergarten, he will be forced to learn, not reading, writing, and arithmetic, he will be forced to learn about gender identity and gender fluidity as a kindergartner. And I'm just telling you, as an old guy, that one drives me crazy. Washington Post last year had an article, said, kindergarten in the German is a German word for children's garden. And the article goes on to say, last week, California decided that their children's garden in public schools would include instruction on gender identity. And I've read several articles where little kids are going to school and they're asked, as a kindergartner, do you want to be a boy or a girl? And as an old person, I got to tell you, I'm like going, wow. They have, in public libraries, drag queen story time. And again, I'm an old guy. That blows my mind. And if you're younger, it's like, well, yeah, you're old. But I just want to say, wow. Now, don't get me wrong. Our military, men and women, throughout the history of this country, have given their lives so that people can be free. All people. No matter what you do, what you believe, you have freedoms. And that's a great thing about this country. We do have freedoms. And that's great. But there is an indoctrination and a persuasion that is going on where people are just trying to take away freedoms. And so I know I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I'm not going to get in trouble for this because it's the truth. The LGBTQ+ community have gotten their rights. And there's a part of me that says that's not a bad thing because they were mistreated. But it's not enough that they've gotten their rights. It has now turned to the place where they are bullying people to make them believe what they believe. And if you think I'm crazy, look at what has happened to Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is a restaurant chain that has convictions that are religious. They're Christian. And they have been boycotted. And because they support groups like Fellowship of Christian Athletes and the Salvation Army, which do not support same-sex marriage. And so they have, in the last couple of years, had to change who they support. It's crazy that, in one sense, people who have gotten their freedoms now are trying to say, you can't do, you have to believe what we say. And as an old person, it's coming. Beto O'Rourke, who was a presidential candidate last year, said that tax-exempt statuses for churches that do not perform same-sex marriage will be removed if he's the president. And obviously he didn't win, but let's face it, the religious community is and will continue to lose our freedoms. I often say, before I end my ministry, unless you guys fire me before then, I will be arrested for hate speech because we teach what the Bible teaches. Now I'm going to speak to us old people, and I'm going to preach to ourselves to say, listen, this should not surprise us. The Bible said these things are going to happen. Matter of fact, it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to be there in a few months, a few years, whenever we get there. It says, for the time that has passed suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. And they malign you. And so it's happened. It's here. In my 25 years of pastoring, I have seen things change. I have talked to Christian grandparents that believe the Bible, and I said, and I'll ask them, are you thrilled about what the future holds for your grandkids? And I haven't run into one that said, oh yeah, America's going to be a better place for my grandkids. It's just not what I've heard. And John Piper has said this well, and this has helped me, and I want you to get this. He says this, the church in America is slowly awakening from the distortion of 350 years of domination and prosperity. Until recently, being a Christian in America has been viewed as normal, good, patriotic, that's true, we used to have God and Country Sundays, patriotic, culturally acceptable, and even beneficial. And that is true. And yet that was a very rare thing that we had as Americans. Most people, most Christians around the world did not have that. And we are not going to have that anymore. If you hold to biblical theology and biblical morality, you are labeled as a bigot, as a hater, as there is something seriously wrong with you, that I am considered a dangerous person because of what I say. And for some of you young people, you will start to go up corporate ladders, and if you hold to what the Bible says and you are at all vocal about it, there's going to come a day when you will not be able to hold a position of leadership. It's already happening in certain segments of industry. It happens. And yet, again, let me preach to ourselves. It says in 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange has happened to you. This isn't strange. Christians around the world have been persecuted since the beginning. And as an old guy, I can sit there and I can watch it and I can get angry and I can get spun up. And here's where I need to preach to myself. And I need to say, stop getting angry. We need to love and to care for people who we differ with. And yet, they're not the enemy. This is what God has said is going to happen, and we should not be surprised by that. And so that's what I want to talk about the rest of our way out. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. And last week, Pastor Jason made it clear that we are citizens of heaven and that our primary concern is his kingdom. That is where we are to focus. That is where we are to put our attention and our thoughts. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to have you stand for the reading of God's word. And I'm going to back up and just get the context. And I'm going to read verses, 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through 11. Here's what it says. says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you did not receive mercy, but now you have received mercy. And then the verse we're going to look at today, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which war against your soul. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray that we would understand that this is not our world, that we are strangers, we are exiles, we are sojourners. And I pray we would not be cranky or bitter or grumpy or whining about that, but that we would know that you are God and you are sovereign. And so we just commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So he begins with a term of affection. He says, beloved. It's like he's grabbing the child by the face. He's like, my dear child. And then he makes it clear. Believers, this is not your home. It really isn't. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles. In other translations, it'll say aliens and strangers, strangers and aliens, strangers and pilgrims. And those words are used in one sense interchangeably. And they speak of one who is traveling in a different country. I don't know about you, but I remember my very first mission trip. I was in seminary. I flew down to Argentina. I knew nobody. I wasn't meeting up with the missionary to the next day, and they took me to a hotel, and everything was like in the language I didn't understand. I couldn't read anything. I couldn't understand anybody. It was nervous a little bit. It was scary, and yet it was great because I was there for a purpose. I had a mission that I was there for, and so it didn't get to me. And every other missions trip I have been on over the years, it's glorious. You go to places where the culture's totally different, people are different, and yet you know you're there for a purpose, and it's all good. Why? Because you're just there for a little while. You know that you are a stranger. You're there temporarily. The problem for old guys like me is that we have come to love our country, America, more than we love Jesus Christ and more than we love the Word of God. In 1 John 2:15, where it says, do not love the world or the things that are in the world, there's a real sense in which our love, our affection, and we would never say that, but even our way of life, we love and are more passionate about that than we are the things of the Lord. And it's interesting, the Bible says over and over that this is not our home. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, yes, we are of good courage and would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. That's our goal. We're not home yet. Whether we're here or there, but we make it our goal to please him. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our primary citizenship is. David Platt, who was a missionary and now is a pastor, said this. He said, the key is realizing, as believers, this world is not our home. If you and I ever hope to free our lives from worldly desires, worldly thinking, worldly pleasures, worldly dreams, worldly ideas, worldly values, worldly ambitions, and worldly acclaim, then we must focus our lives on another world. That if you think about that and if you stew on that phrase, that whole concept, it's true. And as I've gone through and prepared this sermon, I realize I'm holding on to this world a lot tighter than I should. When the scripture says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now think about it. The last time you stayed at a hotel, I think I've used this illustration before, but you walk in, and let's say you don't like the towels. I know my wife does not like those towels that are like all beaded up and hard and, you know. And she doesn't say to me, hey, honey, run out and get some new towels. And by the way, pick up a new TV because this one's kind of small. I mean, you don't go out and shell out a few hundred dollars to renovate a room that you're only going to be at for a day or two. Why? Because you're just passing through. People, we're just passing through. I remember being young and graduating, and then you blink. And you're going to be old as your mom there in a second, just like that. When she's like going, hey, what are you talking about? But that's what the scripture says. It's quite clear. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Hebrews 13:14 says, for here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. You know, we may grieve. I may grieve. And younger people, stick with me on this. I may grieve that the world has changed. Some of it for good. And some of it is like, wow. But we got to understand, all of us are going to be gone quickly. I heard a quote this week that was really good. American culture does not belong to Christians. Neither in reality nor in biblical theology. It never has. The present tailspin towards Sodom is not a fall from Christian ownership. And you might say, yeah, but we're a Christian country. No, we're not. Did we have Christian influence? Yes. Were we ever a true Christian country? I would say no. Now, you can argue with that, but I am quite sure that when people were on a slave trip, a slave ship coming to America, I'm sure they're not talking, saying, hey, Fred, guess what? We're going to America. I hear it's a Christian country. Isn't this great? I mean, think about it. That's not what happened. We live in a messed up, fallen world, and it has always been that way. Here's what 1 John 5:19 says. We know that we are from God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The whole world. In Ephesians 2, it says, in him you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, even when we're dead in our transgressions, he made us alive, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. So we realize this is not our country. We're here. It is short term. Now let me add a second point here. Christian sojourners and exiles are not passive. He has called us out to be light in a world that is messed up. And we're not going to spend a lot of time here because in reality, the rest of this chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2, is going to be talking about how we are to live. And if you are so angry, you're not going to be able to love people. You're not going to be able to care for people. You're not going to be able to do what God has clearly called us to do. And so you need to stick with us as we go through this over the next few weeks to see how we are to act in this world. So I just say that. That's a quick point. Point two, real quick. Stay tuned. We're not passive. We're not sitting there saying, well, we're just going to go, you know. No, the scripture gives us clear instruction. And one of the things that he tells us is how you and I, who call themselves believers, are to act. Point three, as sojourners and exiles, we are to declare war on our own sin. He says, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. The passions of the flesh is that of of our old self, our old sin nature. See, here's the gospel in a nutshell. We're sinners. We deserve God's wrath and judgment. God in his mercy so loved us that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to bear the penalty that your sin and my sin deserved. He died, was buried, and he rose from the dead. And when we, by faith, acknowledge our sin and we turn to him and we trust him, we are born again. And the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. And we are no longer under the dominion of sin. But you and I will struggle with sin till the day we die. And we are to wage war. We don't make peace with it. We don't sit there and make a compromise and say, you know, it's just the way I am. We don't do that. We battle. He uses the imagery of war. And this is a long-term military campaign. And we have to deal with our flesh in a direct and passionate way. I mean, I just want to say, read your Bibles and you will see this. Colossians 3:5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Don't toy with it. Don't just say, well, everyone else in the whole world's doing this, so I might as well do this. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the devil's schemes. You got to understand, you're an enemy against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Ed Welch has said, the only possible attitude towards out-of-control desires is a declaration of all-out war against the sin within us. Jesus said it this way, if your right hand causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is far better to lose one member than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it would be better to lose one of your members than that your whole body would go into hell. Now, this is for all of us, but I do want to speak to the graduates. Okay? Your parents have spent 18 years pouring into your lives the truth of God's word. And just pouring it in. They brought you to VBS. They've sent you to camps. They are imperfect parents. None of us are perfect. But they have done their very best to train you and to give you and to put you in a place where you would understand who God is, understand who you are, and you would come to know and love this God who loves you. And now you're grown up and you're going off. And this applies to those of you that's happened over the last few years. You're growing up and you're leaving your comfortable family bubble, and you are going into a world that is going to want to systematically dismantle everything you've been taught the last 18 years of your life. Trust me, it's going to be unbelievable what you run into. In some cases, and this is a true statement, your parents will be accused of child abuse because they brought you to this church. It's going to happen. Some of the schools you're going to, you're going to hear that. The biblical worldview that you have been taught, that Pastor Nate has poured into your lives, and Pastor Jason and myself have tried to teach, they're going to look at us like, ooh, those guys are out of touch. They're crazy. They're going to try to dismantle it. There's a young man here. His name's Chase. Chase, when he went to college, didn't know Jesus. And I was telling him what I was going to preach on. And he wrote this long letter. It was really good. But I can only take a little clip of it because he's kind of writing to you guys. And he says this. Some of you will be among wolves. Few of them will bare their teeth. They will be friendly, convincing, passionate wolves. Wolves with flattering arguments. Wolves who seem so smart, and wolves whose opinion will become so important to you. And there are wolves in sheepskin, and he asked the question, what will you do? You are going to hear things. I mean, some of you, and by the way, you go to Christian college, doesn't matter, because that air is around the Christian college as well. There's people who in this world are really mocking everything that the Bible teaches. So how do you battle that? How do you battle all that's going on? Turn in your Bibles. And this is what it comes down to. Are we real Christians? This is going to be the test for you young people. When you go away, you know, you could sit here, come up here, you all look great. But the reality is, for all of us, are we the real deal, or are we just playing a game? If we are the real deal, then God the Holy Spirit lives within us, and he is going to bear fruit in our lives. In Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16, I'm not going to read all this, but he says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." So how do you do that? How do you battle the flesh? You walk by the Spirit. "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For they are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." And then he kind of draws the battle lines. He says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident." These are the things that we all have to battle. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, fits of rage, fits of anger, rivalry, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgy, and things like these. "I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things," and the context there is those who continue to practice those things, "will not inherit the kingdom of God." Then he goes on to say, "But the fruit of the Spirit," and he goes on to say, "is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control." And so that's why he says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." Those desires of the flesh, young people and old people, they wage war against your soul, and you have to wage war against that. And you know what the battle is won and lost? It is battled with your view of the Bible. Always has been. The enemy always attacks at the authority of Scripture. The devil did in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you should not eat of the tree in the garden?" Did God really say that? And that is the challenge for all of us. I have a little prop here. And I know they need to turn the camera, but I think this is a pretty good prop. So, there are things in the Bible. Is that good? Can you see it? Oh, yeah. There are things in the Bible that are called sin. I have them represented by orange balls. And there are all kinds of different sins. And the reason I have them all one color is simply this. Sin is sin is sin. My little grumpiness and anger is just as horrific before an infinitely holy God than murder. Okay? We look at sins as like big sins, little sins. No, God doesn't look at it that way. Sin is sin is sin. And there are things that the Bible clearly says that are sin. And then there are things that today people look at and say, well, yes, that's sin. And then there's things that people look at today and they say, no, 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 that's not sin. So we're going to go through this. So, murder. Most people today would say, and the Bible clearly says, murder is sin. But most people, I think, would say, yep, that's still a sin. Now, not everybody. Some people think it's fine. What about stealing? Most people I know think that stealing is wrong, especially if I'm stealing your stuff. You may want to steal from the government. I hear that one all the time. But someone steals your stuff, you don't like people stealing your stuff. Anyone like when people steal your stuff? Raise your hand, because I'll come over and take your stuff, and then it will be okay. No, nobody likes your stuff to be taken. We don't. We don't like when people, I mean, it drives me crazy when people will try to rip off old people with these scams. I mean, it just drives, it's like, really? What kind of scumbag are you that you're calling elderly people trying to get their bank account number? I mean, that one gets me going. But that's just as bad as my little grumpy angerness. But we would say that one's wrong. Now, here's an interesting one. This is an old school one, although it's really not. Slavery. In this world today, I just read a report this morning, there are 40 million slaves. Some of them are in the sex slave industry. All around the world, slavery has always been around. Now, people say, well, the Bible condones slavery. No, it doesn't. It does not. Matter of fact, it gives a warning against it. Were there people who sold themselves into servitude, bond slaves? Yes. Now, as a country, we used to say that was okay. Do we anymore? No. And rightfully so. That one's not good. But then you get this different thing. It's like premarital sex. I mean, after all, this is one when I was younger. It's like, really? I mean, you don't understand. I mean, really? What does the Bible say? Sin or not sin? The Bible clearly says it's a sin, but the culture, by and large, looks at that and says, come on, really? And they put that in the not sin category. Abortion, the killing of an unborn life. Most of the law of the land is that it's okay. So even though the Bible says that that's a life knit together in the mother's womb, that one ends up in the, that's really not a sin because the culture has said it's kind of not. Let's take divorce. I know, touchy subject. Probably over half of you have been divorced. You get it? You know, and this is not a bash, but the reality says, the Bible says God hates divorce. He makes provision on two accounts, and that is marital unfaithfulness, and if the unbeliever departs. But as elders, we're constantly dealing with people that want to check out of marriages. Why? Because most of the people in the world would say, not a sin anymore. And even Christian communities, like, it's not that big of a deal. The practice of homosexuality. Well, we know what's happened on that one. The Bible used to say this. Now, here's the scary thing. More and more, the world is looking at that. Even the Christian world is saying, not really. And I just say this. And you can go on and on with these things. You can go on and on. Here's what you got to understand. Young people and old people. When the Bible says that it's sin and it's clear that it's sin, guess what? It is. And I'm saying this to all of us. We don't get to pick and choose. We don't get to sit there and say, put my finger to the culture and say, it's really not viewed that bad anymore. And so I just say to us, we know him. We have to hold on to him. But if you hold to that view that sin is sin in the Bible, guess what's going to happen to you? It says, indeed, in 2 Timothy 3:12, indeed, all those who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Jesus said in John 15:18, if the world hates you and we will be hated, know that it has hated me before it hated you. And so it gets back to where we were. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial which is to come upon you, to test you, as though something strange has happened to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. So I want to wrap this up, and we're not going to be able to sing our last song, but that's okay. I kind of told Ed that. Older people, and I'm talking to me, we need to be lovingly, joy-filled, not grumpy and angry people walking around this world. This isn't our country. It never has been. And we have to be like Lot, who vexed his righteous soul. It says that he was tormented his righteous soul over the lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Not like it's going to be easy, but we're on a mission here. We're here to hold on to King Jesus and to make him known and to be his instrument to tell people about Jesus. We are sorrowful yet always rejoicing. For the younger people, you got to stay true to God's word. You have to hold on to him, and it's going to be harder for you than it ever was for people of my generation. Going to be harder. Because you're going to have the full court press on you that's going to say, really? Believe the Bible? What are you, a caveman or something? I mean, and you're going to be called worse. And I would sit there and say, there is obedience equals blessing. Not that everything's going to go well, but the Lord, he will say to you at the end of this all, well done, thou good and faithful servant. may we not be a people who we sit there and we say, yeah, I know what the Bible says, but if you start to hear yourself say that, I beg us all to repent. Let's stand, and we're going to be dismissed in a word of prayer. Father, I come before you, and I know I've said a lot of words, but Lord, your word is true. And so take anything that I've said that is not right and do your work in our lives. We need to be people who are older, that are joy-filled lovers of Jesus in a world that is different than it used to be. But Lord, you have told us in your word in 2 Peter 3:1, in the latter time, things are going to get worse and worse. Then it goes on to describe it. And so help us not to be shocked nor surprised by that. And I do pray for this younger generation that they would not compromise your word one bit, that they would hold on to you, that they would trust you. So we thank you for your goodness and this day, in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to dismiss you from the rear, if you could just make your way out, and we'll get ready for the next service.